Happy Wednesday. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Ikey, how are we feeling, man?
Oh, Spike, I'm feeling great. Jackie Baseball, power's back, MV3. Come on, man. Talk to your boy. Holla at your boy.
Kind of a possible clinch day?
Is it?
Yeah,
oh, it's one, right?
Kind of. It's one. I mean, they're going to pop some champagne, I guess. Not the big celebration.
We don't want it after a loss, though.
Yeah, no, it's not as fun. Yeah. We have a weird scenario. The Brewers could clinch their division, and the Phillies could clinch a postseason
spot
tonight.
Two teams celebrating.
If the Mets and Braves.
Something
Mets
has to happen.
Right?
Whatever. Yeah. But
it's complicated.
The magic number is 4. To win their first division since 2011.
Well, that's good news. See, people who said the division doesn't matter. Division matters. It'll feel good to win the division. And I'm sure the Phillies will.
You hang up a real banner.
Yes. Like the Sixers second round banner we're going to hang up in here. The Sixers finally get past the second round. We have a big show yet again. I can't believe it. 3 o'clock, Larry Anderson joins us to talk about the Phils. 4 p.m., Brian Baldinger joins us to fight with Ike about the Eagles. 4:30... Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings, and we have a new number one.
Uh-oh.
Elio!
We have a new number one at 4:30 for the Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings. Of course, the top 5 of 5 coming up at 5 o'clock. But I made a mistake, I think, these last couple of days, because I've listened to WIP a lot.
Bunch of idiots, right?
Bunch of
That's
morons.
That's not a mistake.
Yeah. Listen to WIP a lot, read the internet a lot, read articles, read tweets. And here's what I keep seeing everywhere. Mm-hmm. They lost because Nick Sirianni did this. And they lost because Nick Sirianni did that. And Nick Sirianni should have fired him. Nick Sirianni. So my head is going to explode because here are the things that I know for sure. Nick Sirianni does not call the defense. Nick Sirianni does not call the plays on the offense. Nick Sirianni does not pick the players. Nick Sirianni's not allowed to talk to the quarterback. Nick Sirianni isn't even allowed to get mad on the sidelines. Nick Sirianni doesn't talk to the team after the team plays a game because that's the quarterback now. So Nick Sirianni...
We'll see how long that lasts.
Well, you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Is like Nick Sirianni was responsible for two things we could say specifically on Monday night. He was responsible for going for it on fourth down in the first quarter and then not going for it on fourth down right there at the end of the game, which right. are consequential decisions, but not the there are a bunch
Both
of other
Both are debatable.
Yes. There are bigger fish to fry.
Yeah.
And all I've heard all offseason is that finally Nick Sirianni is not involved. And he won't get in Jalen's way, and he won't get in Kellen Moore's way, and Vic Fangio, he's not going to get in Vic Fangio's way, and he's not going to yell at the referees. And here we are, you know, the morning show talks to him this morning, and because they've put him in this situation, he now sounds ridiculous answering any question because he doesn't have anything to do with any of it. Nick Sirianni is here for one reason. And that is so Howie Roseman has someone to fire when the players that he picked and the coordinators that he picked do not work out. So there is someone to blame. Because if we are upset about the reason that the Eagles are not playing well, we are upset because the players are not playing as well as we thought they would, that the coordinators who are doing this independent of Nick Sirianni are not calling the games as well as we thought they would. Nick Sirianni, whether you wanted him to be here or not, is not the guy who you should be mad at. And I actually blame the Eagles for putting him in this situation. I blame Howie Roseman for putting him in this situation. Because truth be told, Ike, if we're 5 games into the season and they're 1-4 or something, he's going to snap. He's going to snap because he's going to be at some press conference and somebody's going to ask him.
He's already getting testy after one loss.
But I understand why he's getting testy.
Yeah.
Because if I was in that situation, if they were like, hey, run this radio station, but you can't pick the host, you can't talk to the producers about what they want to talk about, but you're the one whose ass is going to be on the line the day after the game if they don't perform well. And finally on this, here's what I want to ask everybody who is complaining about Nick Sirianni. If the Eagles were 2-0, and they had scored 40 points and allowed 20 points in both games, how many phone calls would we be getting saying, wow, what a great job Nick Sirianni is doing? Or Joe Giglio, who yesterday, God bless his heart, said that this loss is on Nick Sirianni. Would the whole show be about Nick Sirianni did it again.
Right.
We got it. Nick Sirianni. Everybody would just say, well, thank God he's not involved. So if he's not involved, then blame the general manager for the players, blame the players for not executing, blame the coordinators, but don't blame the head coach who you spent all offseason moving out of his responsibilities.
Yeah, listen, I don't see anything wrong with what you've said so far. I really don't. You know, I'm more of a Nick Sirianni guy than not. I think he gets far too much blame for things when things don't go well, and then no one wants to give him credit for any success the team has. It's either Howie's doing or it's Jalen's doing. Like, they get the credit. The coordinator, Shane Steichen, gets the credit. So Nick Sirianni, like you said, is really just here to be the fall guy. I don't, hell, not just for Howie, for everybody. He's the easy guy for people to jump on and blame. Because when you look at the people, when you look at the team, and from players to coaches to even the GM, like, he would be the guy, if you were putting everybody in a pecking order, he would be the low man on the totem pole for a lot of people. And I think it's completely unfair, because that's always the first guy to get the low-hanging fruit is Nick Sirianni. I didn't have a problem with the third down call. We know that was Kellen Moore's call. The idea to kick the field goal afterwards, I'm okay with that. Although I see the argument to want to go for it. Like, I understand the argument. Here's the thing about the end of those games. Here's what gets me. Here's what frustrates me. And mainly at our guy, Fritzy, Jackie Baseball over there.
Uh-oh.
Little brother, right?
Yep.
Nick Sirianni essentially has the same role as Topper has with the baseball team.
Just let them do their thing.
On down from personnel. Dave Dombrowski controls personnel. Some would even say some of the decisions that Topper makes on game day with guys at times is more influenced by upstairs. Right?
Right.
And he's okay with that. When a team is in a rut and the team is struggling, he's okay. Don't blame Topper. What's Topper supposed to do? Now, the reason why I'm using him as an example is because he's one of these people who are anti-Nick Sirianni. He doesn't want Nick Sirianni involved in play calling. He doesn't want him in the meetings. He wants him in the cafeteria the entire day. Wants him away from everything. But he wants to be the first one to also blame him when things don't go well. So I look at it, and I'm more or less like, he's in that same manager CEO role. And yeah, there could be a time or two in a game where you can question his decision making to go for it on fourth down, to not go for it on fourth down. I get it. I understand that those things don't work. You're going to second guess him. But the fact that this team is 1-1 and they lost that game Monday night, I think it has less to do with Nick Sirianni and probably has more to do with roster construction. And I even said I didn't think Kellen Moore had a great day of play calling Monday night. It wasn't just that play late. There are other times when plays were called, including the final drive of the game, where they could have got a field goal and were going to take a shot to Devontae Smith late in the game. I know Jalen threw it, but they also said that play was dialed up for Devontae to go deep. Was that necessary? That's a Kellen Moore call. That's not Nick Sirianni's play calling.
215-592-9494. Is Nick Sirianni getting too much blame? I honestly don't think he should get any blame at all. But I think he's getting too much blame. I think he's been put in a bad situation by the team. I thought I was actually having a brain malfunction. I thought I was having a stroke when everyone was mad at the 3rd and 3 call and blaming Nick Sirianni for it.
Yeah.
As if we did not spend the last several months, from the organization to the coaches to the leaks to everything, saying that Nick is not calling the plays. Mm-hmm. But there was a play that we didn't like, so it must have been Nick.
And Saquon dropped it.
Yes.
That's really what happened.
Yes.
Yeah.
Must have been Nick.
Yes.
Must have been Nick. But Josh Huff
shouldn't have thrown it to him.
Josh Huff doesn't have a tackle or a pressure or a sack. Must be Nick Sirianni.
Well, that's just Josh Huff's been retired for.
Oh, sorry. Bryce Huff.
Well, same. It's okay until he gets a sack.
Yeah, we've done. Yeah, honestly,
who would you rather have as an edge rusher? Josh Huff or Bryce Huff?
Bryce Huff has as many sacks as Josh Huff does this
right,
year.
Right, yes. I mean, yeah, until he actually makes a play, we won't get his name right. It's okay.
Yeah. Bryce Huff, you know, what's his name? Devontae Smith got pushed off his route. Nick Sirianni.
Yep.
Must be Nick Sirianni. Nick Sirianni. And the truth is that if they did not think Nick Sirianni was the guy to talk to the quarterback when he needed to, could patrol the sidelines, be involved in the offense, have a say in personnel, all these things. If they don't think he is good, even pick his own coordinators. He doesn't even pick it. The guy was a Super Bowl coach and didn't even pick his own coordinators. If they don't think that he's good, then they should have just fired him and they should have hired Jim Harbaugh. But my guess would be that they are afraid of a coach who has enough standing within the league to have say within things. Because the last time they had one of those, the last time they gave power to a head coach, it was Chip Kelly, and how he ended up in the office in the back of the room, you know, with equipment or whatever the hell it was, and they don't ever want to do that again. But the truth is that the head coach of the football team has to have some sort of say, or you're putting a guy in this situation where the guy's only going to get blamed all year long. 215-592-9494. Is Nick Sirianni getting too much blame? Which I believe he is, and I believe it is the organization's fault for that happening. Nick in Philly, you're on WIP.
How you guys doing today?
What's up, Nick?
What up, Nick?
All right. I finally have just been listening to this show all morning from 7 o'clock to now, and it's about darn time that somebody finally sits here and says that Nick is not at fault. I'm so sick and tired of listening to this. It's just crazy to me.
Now, this wouldn't be because your name is Nick also, right?
No, I'm just being honest.
Okay.
You guys all stick together.
When are we going to start blaming Vic Fangio for this defense? When are we going to start blaming these coaches to start actually teaching these players how to block the run and get to the pass rush? It's just ridiculous to me.
Well, it's Howie season. All offseason, no matter what move we make, right? We signed right. Bryce Huff, Howie season. We traded away our best edge rusher for a draft pick. It's Howie season. We signed Devin White. He's never been playing. It's Howie season. We signed CJ GJ, who almost cost the team a game, but with a ridiculous penalty twice during the game. It's Howie season. Everything's friggin' right. Howie season. We draft all the guys from Georgia. But all three of them are invisible every game day. It's Howie season. But then when the season starts, all of a sudden, it's Nick. It's like Nick has nothing to do with the defense, zero. Right. And as far as I know, has very little to do with the offense. So it is on the players. It is on Howie. It is on the coordinators. But I just can't figure out where it's on Sirianni. And that seems to be by design. And I can see it all year long. The guy's going to get, if they don't perform, the guy's going to get fired. And honestly, I don't, whatever. It's not even like I'm a big Nick Sirianni backer. I don't even know if he's a good head coach. But really, if this is what you wanted, you shouldn't have gone into this year with it like this. Because really, if they do not succeed, this is going to end up being a wasted year that you could have had whoever your head coach is going to be for the next 5 years if you didn't actually believe in this guy enough to give him a chance to make decisions.
Yeah, listen. I think they want Nick Sirianni as their head coach. Now, some may argue, what are the reasons why they want him as their head coach? But I think they want him as their head coach. You know, someone that is a willing collaborator, that doesn't mind having other chefs in the kitchen cooking up the meal with him. He certainly is a guy who isn't ego-driven and is worried about who's getting all the credit for the team's success. So there's something to that in being the head coach in today's age that the organization finds appealing. In a day and age where a lot of guys do want all the credit, some want a little more control. Nick Sirianni, not saying he's just happy to be the head coach or anything of that nature, but he does realize it's only 32 of these jobs.
Sure. Part of it's that.
Yeah.
You know, part
of
it is.
It's only 32 of these jobs. And it is a wonderful job and opportunity to have to be the head coach of the Philadelphia
Sure,
Eagles.
Sure,
just
right.
is.
Yeah, but eventually, or maybe you won't even get to this point, it was a wonderful job for Doug to have too. But eventually,
sure,
Doug was like, look, if you're not going to let me pick my own coaches, you know what I mean? I don't want to.
And Doug
be
earned that by winning the Super Bowl.
By winning the Super
so
Bowl.
So he could do that.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Nick, although he's gotten to the Super Bowl, I don't know if he's earned the ability to, I guess, resist getting along, going along to get along with the Eagles, and then saying, I'm going to get another head coaching job somewhere else.
Because if they fired him this offseason, he'd end up being quarterback's coach somewhere, or whatever he is.
Right.
He
I don't think he's not walking into another head coaching job.
He might not even be a coordinator, to be honest with you, the next year.
Right, because he's not even a play caller.
Right. So we do have, Jack, we got a pair of Phillies tickets.
That's right.
To give away.
It's our last home series, too, of the season.
Okay, so it's Monday.
Ooh. Yeah, Cubs.
Monday's game against the Cubs.
This is the last home series of the year.
Yeah, it's only three home games left.
Unbelievable. Wow. What, in the regular season?
In the regular season.
So for the Phillies tickets.
Thank you for clearing that up.
Well, you know.
All about accuracy.
Yeah, all about accuracy here. For the Phillies tickets, we have a next question today. So you will call up with your sports point to 215-592-9494. We will ask you next question. You'll tell us the best one. We'll get a pair of tickets to Monday's game. It is, or would have been, if he hadn't passed away, well, I guess it still is, Shane Gandolfini's birthday. And his most famous role was The Sopranos. And I have never seen one episode of The Sopranos.
His famous role was Tony Soprano.
Tony Soprano in The Sopranos.
Okay.
Yes. I knew it was Tony Soprano.
Well, I'm just saying, respect him.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Please.
I wasn't trying to disrespect Tony Soprano.
Just respect him.
Yeah. All right. Guys are the worst.
All about accuracy.
All right. I didn't say he wasn't Tony Soprano.
Oh, I'm just saying. A little respect.
A little bit.
All right.
Little respect.
Tony Soprano.
But I've never... greatest character ever.
Well, I wouldn't know.
Greatest leading man in the movie, in the TV show.
I wouldn't know. By the way, not true, but I wouldn't even know. So for next question today, give us something very popular, well-known, mm-hmm. or you know, that you've never seen.
Or heard.
Yeah, it could be an album you never heard.
Yeah.
TV, movie that you've never seen. Yeah. Ike, give us something you've never seen.
Well, for me, it's always Seinfeld.
That's such a shame. Because you're such a Curb guy.
Love Curb.
Yeah.
A huge Curb guy.
I know.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just never got into the whole Jerry Seinfeld TV show. Network TV, man.
Yeah, you're an HBO's man.
Yeah, I just the
but
network
I mean, this
TV.
Was the 90s. It was the early 90s. I mean,
you when it was.
Yeah, I mean, you would have been network TV guy then. There wasn't.
I guess it was. You're right.
You didn't have any choice. You were watching like Martin, or is it?
That's
this?
True. That's well, right. That's right.
Huh?
That's right. It's a different network.
Yes.
I like Fox back
yes,
then.
Yes.
I was a Foxman back then.
A Foxman.
Yes. I still like Fox, but my point is
Seinfeld.
Yes, I did not see Seinfeld.
Now,
not one. Now, I've seen clips.
Right.
It's hard. I've seen clips.
Yeah.
I've never, and it's only a 30-minute show, right?
30-minute
episode.
And honestly, without the commercials, 23
I've never
minutes.
Seen a full episode of Seinfeld.
And now you're too, because I know you. You're too dog.
Oh, there's nowhere I ever even watch.
Well, now it's even better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Better chance of happening. You watching Seinfeld or you watching Game of Thrones?
Me watching Seinfeld.
Because at least it's on TV.
Yeah, there's no way I'm watching Game of Thrones. You can figure, and that would have been another answer for me, too, by the way. Yes.
He could just flip on and Seinfeld will be on there.
Yes.
Game of Thrones.
I got to actually
not.
Commit to damn Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you could just watch a Seinfeld episode.
Yeah, I don't need to follow.
Without
context. Exactly. I can watch any season, any episode.
Jack, what is popular that you've never seen or heard?
How much time you got? First of all.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot.
Yeah, after 1998 version, is there one of those? All right, what do you got?
A lot to unpack.
Yeah.
But I guess my biggest one would be I've never seen the old Star Wars.
Oh, really?
So the original.
I've only seen The Phantom Menace and with going forward. I don't know anything that happened in the old Star Wars. I didn't even know James Earl Jones was in the old Star Wars until he passed away last
week. Did you know he was Darth Vader?
Darth Vader, man.
Wow.
Yeah, it's bad. I should probably go watch it.
Yeah, because it would be something you could watch with your son.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, original
Star Wars. I still
got
the box set.
I'm sure you do. Do you have it on VCR?
Yes, it's a trilogy.
Did you have any of the action figures? Because
I was
big on it. You have the Millennium Falcon?
I did not. Well, yeah, that was like the hardest thing to ever get. Because when they used to do the Star Wars commercials, that looked the most fun.
Yep.
If anything to play as kids, you're like the Millennium Falcon is so big, you could do so many different things on it. Yeah, I never got that.
It's funny. You say fun, you could do so many different things. It just sat there.
Yeah.
It just sat there.
But you know, you could be over here.
My favorite action figure of the Star Wars ones was Boba Fett. I thought Boba Fett was the best one.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody loved
Boba Fett.
Boba Fett
was the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably got to go. Chewbacca was a good one too.
Good one
yeah,
too.
I might have to go with you because Bubba Fett was just different than everybody else.
Coming up next, Nick Sirianni was on the WIP Morning Show and answered the question about the third down call to throw to Saquon, even though it wasn't his call. Is Nick Sirianni getting too much blame? Should he be getting any blame at all? 215-592-9494. Today's show, sponsored by Guided Door and Window. Buy a window or door and get the second at half off with 18 months interest-free financing. Call Guided Door and Window today at 877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
I'm the Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. What was that decision?
Who is this?
It's a TikTok song. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who is this?
I don't know how to say his name.
Big Steppa. I don't think I heard this one before.
It's a TikTok song. I don't know.
Our show is only TikTok.
We've now moved into TikTok. Yes. Yeah.
2:30, I was expecting the boom song.
Oh, yeah, that's
song.
Right. Yeah, where's the Chunky Cookie guy?
Bring the boom.
Chunky Cookie guy.
He is the worst, man. He is positively the worst.
Yeah.
We gotta, bring the boom.
There we go.
We bring the boom. We bring the boom to you.
You know, it's things like this, AJ and Big Justice, that bring everyone together. Doesn't matter what race you are, doesn't matter what gender you are. Everyone's getting that in their For You page. Everyone is.
For sure.
You know,
Rizzler is still the GOAT. Like Rizzler
is the GOAT.
Come on.
Yeah, love Rizzler. Love Rizzler. All right, talking about Nick Sirianni today, I think all of the blame about Nick Sirianni is honestly ridiculous. They have spent the entire offseason taking everything out of his hands, and he still gets in trouble for everything anyway. They should have just fired him in the offseason if this is the way it was going to be, and I don't know how this is going to work. And honestly, I do believe if a bad start continues, he is going to snap. We already see little nuggets of it so far. So 215-592-9494. Speaking of snapping, Chuck and Mount Airy, you're on WIP. What's up, Chuck?
Michael, Jacko, and Ike. What's up, Ike?
What up, Chuck?
Hey, listen, I had to spar with you yesterday to get you ready for Baldy today, all right? So don't take it personal.
I don't take anything personal. It's all good with me.
I know. I hear you. Listen, hey, listen, you know, that was some good radio last week, too. I hope if we can get an encore, that'd be great.
You just wanted to fight with Baldy again?
I don't even know. What would I fight with Baldy about today?
I don't know. We figure something out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good radio, man. I tell you that much. It's good to listen to you. I tell you. Hey, well, listen, right? Spike, let me say something to you, right?
Yeah.
Real quick. Nick Sirianni brought this on himself, okay?
How?
You know, this is justified.
How?
You know, the blaming him.
How?
Because he's not respected. You know, he's not respected. But, you know, see,
he's not respected by whom? Like, by you?
Yeah, by who?
He's not respected by the city of Philadelphia. Every coach has coach. Listen, Larry Brown, Andy Reid, you know, we started to sour towards Andy towards the end of his tenure here. But, you know, for the most part, Andy Reid, we respected him because he carried himself like a professional.
But Chuck, then you know who's, first of all, then it is the general manager and owner's issue for keeping a guy in there who you believe does not have the respect of the team and the city. And what I would tell you is they have made it worse by removing responsibility for making it clear that they didn't want him to be himself, for making it clear that he isn't to get in the way of Jalen and Kellen Moore. Like, whatever chance he had at gaining that respect has been removed by how the organization has treated him and the position they've put him in. I want to say, I don't know if Nick Sirianni's a good head coach. I might even err on the side of maybe not. I don't know. But I know that they had an opportunity to move on from him this offseason. They chose not to. But instead of really giving a true vote of confidence in him, they did a half vote of confidence. It was basically like, you can keep your job, but you can't do all the same stuff.
We respect it. See, there's the thing, right? See how he acted on Sunday when DJ made that hit? He acted like he won the Super Bowl. See, that's the stuff like that. It's just, it's ridiculous, man. People don't respect that, man. So if people don't respect you, then they're going to find anything to blame you for. As simple as that. You could walk, and they're going to find you walking funny. What I'm trying to say to you is this. Even Chip Kelly, all the stuff that he was doing behind the scenes, he carried himself like a professional head coach. Hmm. When you carry yourself like a professional, people look at you like a professional, and they're not going to be so quick to blame you. He carries himself like a kid. And I'm saying emotional on the sideline.
Dude, Chip Kelly.
And say, that's the guy right there that we should blame because he puts himself on the front page to look like a clown. And that's why people blame him, I think, the way they do. And I think that people are respectful. So that's why he gets the bunch of the blame. And it's justified because he brought that on himself.
I think they blame him because it's easier to blame one person you don't like as opposed to all the people
you
do.
You know it.
And nobody wants to blame Saquon for dropping the ball. Nobody wants to blame Jalen for throwing the interception. Nobody wants to blame the coordinators that they've spent all offseason
saying,
"That's
how great they were going to be."
Right? Finally, we have two great coordinators, but when it's Kellen Moore's play call, it's still Nick Sirianni's fault. And when it is Howie Roseman's Bryce Huff and Vic Fangio's defense, it's still Nick Sirianni. Honestly, I think it's unfair that Nick Sirianni has to answer any of those questions.
Mm-hmm.
Kellen Moore should answer the question. Vic Fangio should answer the questions. Howie Roseman should answer the question.
I think Nick Sirianni still has his hand in the cookie jar, and that's going to get his ass fired. You still see he got something to do with those play calls because those bubble screens was too old. They were so so ironic to be they were so they looked so much like last year. Some of the plays, the tush pushes, the bubble screens, the Britton Covey. It looked a little bit like last year's calls, man. I think he still has his hand in the cookie jar.
Let me ask you this. Do you think it's possible that Kellen Moore, an entirely different coordinator who has an entire resume, is calling similar plays to Brian Johnson? Do you think it might have something to do with the person throwing the football?
I called up yesterday.
I know.
What I'm saying is this, right? I think it's a combination of both. I think with this quarterback and this coach, we could be off to a 1-3 start. And I tell you, we off to a 1-3 start spike going into the bye week. I got two words for you, Bill Belichick.
Let me ask you this, Chuck. How do you go from being so convincing and having so much conviction in August to after one loss, you're like ice cream melted in a bowl right now? What's wrong with you?
Did you turn on your TV?
Yeah, I turned on the TV. I saw it. Yes, I saw it. And I saw if our running back had caught the ball out of the backfield, it would have been a brilliant, aggressive play call from the genius Kellen Moore that led to us winning the game and being 2-0. That's what I saw. And then I saw him drop that, and then all hell broke loose, and we lost the game. And now we've all of a sudden lost all conviction in the team and everything we believed prior to the game and prior to that loss. If they were 2-0, you wouldn't be saying any of this nonsense. You wouldn't be saying this. You'd be front-running right now. I'm just telling you, you don't know this, Chuck. I want you to know I'm watching you. I'm watching you because I know you're going to want to jump right back on the train when things start going well. I'm watching you.
I ain't jumping the train. What I'm trying to say to you is this. We started off 10-1 last year, and went downhill with this coach.
I'm just telling you, man.
He doesn't have no answers, man.
He's got his eye on you, Chuck.
I'm just telling you, dog, because you spit fire preseason when everything is 0-0 and nothing has happened. You got so much conviction in everybody. You're already shaking in your boots right now. You're already shaking, Chuck. You're giving up. I heard you earlier on the show with the midday guys. You've given up. You recalibrated your thoughts. You don't think the team is that good. Now you're back to being woe is me. I'm just telling you, I'm watching you.
No. Listen, here's the thing, though. Right? It's a combination of last year and this year. If it was just this year and we did this, I wouldn't be like this.
We lost one game.
No. We still got
almost lost, too.
And this quarterback here.
Shut up, Jack.
It combined from last year and this year. How can you just say it's one game? You still have the same head coach.
No, because I have the ability. Here's what I have the ability to do that obviously a lot of people don't have the ability to do. I can shut off 2023. I don't really care about that. This is a totally different team with a totally different sort of culture and aura around the team. It isn't the same personnel. You don't have the same issues you had last year internally going off the field and in the locker room. This, by all accounts, is a team that likes each other, that's pulling for one another, and enjoy playing with one another. They got great leadership. The quarterback is all the way bought in. So why would I continuously go back to 2023? I know 2023 happened. It happened. Bad seasons happen. And then you move on and you go to the next year. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm judging this on its own merit. They lost a game that they shouldn't have lost. And now let's see how they respond to it. But this idea that everything is dead and the team is bad and we're back to last year again, come on, man. I'm keeping receipts. And you're the biggest one I'm keeping a receipt on because you're the loudest. You're the loudest.
The 32. Listen, we got the ranked 32 ranked defense going up against the number one.
We knew this defense stunk before the season started. I told you. You're the one want to buy into Hugh Douglas when his defense is a luxury nonsense.
Does she do anything for us?
I don't think I don't hear you buy into that on the midday show.
Slay,
see?
Hey, listen, Slay. You got Slay yucking it up with the other team after he's got burnt. I told you his day's behind. You got Sean Considine still back there.
Sean Considine.
He had a pick in week one.
Yeah.
One of them.
He just had an interception in week one and then hit the Quan. Yeah, how many? Who else hit the Quan in the secondary?
Come on, man. And then Zach Bond, he just disappeared at home.
Zach Bond with Seth Joyner a week ago. I mean, he was the greatest linebacker we had since Trott.
I never said that. You know what I'm saying? I ain't never say that. Then, you know, you got this guy, you know, Jordan Davis. He don't have a mean bone in his body. This guy can't wait for Thanksgiving. You know what I mean? He gets pushed around all over the place. You know what I'm saying? And hey, I'm told to believe in this team. Come on, man. Don't call up Hassan Reddick. Swallow your pride, Howie. Call up Hassan Reddick and get that man hit the 50.
Okay. Now, I do agree. Now, I'm with you on that now.
And get that man that $50 million that you gave number zero, who plays like a number zero. He's a...
Hey, Chuck. Next question today. Give us something popular that you haven't seen or heard.
Oh, you guys, man, you ain't going to believe this, right? Can I? Listen, this is the biggest thing, you know, back in the day. I've always heard it on the radio. I've heard it numerous times. I've never seen the video. And you guys going to smack me for this.
Is it Thriller?
Thriller. Michael Jackson Thriller.
You've never seen the Thriller
video?
I've
never seen Thriller.
It was on MTV every 10 minutes.
I don't watch MTV. I watch BET. You know what
I mean? I'm sure it was on BET, too.
You know what I mean? I don't watch no MTV.
All right, Chuck.
I've never seen Thriller. Never
okay.
Seen
wow.
It.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that's a big one. Yeah. That's a big one. That is a big one.
You know MTV was out before BET.
BET, yes. Chuck was just sitting by his TV waiting for BET when MTV was out. He was like, I need one for me. I'm just going to wait by the TV.
And when BET first came out, there was a lot of video soul. And yes.
Today's show, sponsored by Guided Door and Window. Buy a window or door and get the second half off with 18 months interest-free financing. Call Guided Door and Window today, 877-GO-GUIDE, or visit goguida.com. Uh-oh!
Breaking news!
Breaking news. This is per Jeff Cole of Fox 29. Mayor Sherelle Parker says Sixers will remain in Philadelphia after an agreement with the team.
Hey!
So there you go.
There you go.
I knew the jersey thing was a threat.
It was a good last-ditch effort to get him to budge.
It wasn't, but now I haven't seen reporting on whether that agreement is for the Market East location.
Right, we don't know where it's going to be.
I assume it is. Yeah. I assume that's what it is.
You think that's what it's going to be?
Yeah, I mean, I don't... Look, they're not going to do the thing with Comcast.
Because the Sixers were serious about moving downtown.
There's no chance they were going to do a 50-50 deal with Comcast.
Okay.
They're not going to put it in the Navy Yard or something.
Right,
so I couldn't... Honestly, couldn't...
They want it downtown.
Yeah, they already got told no to Penn's Landing. Okay. Remember, that was 4 years ago or whatever. So I assume that's where it'll be.
Okay.
And as soon as she became mayor, to me, that she was going to be someone who supported that, I think. So all I know is shouldn't cost anybody in this city or state one penny.
That's the next shoe to drop to figure out what that is.
Yes.
But all right, downtown, huh?
Downtown. She did say Center City.
There you go.
Audio.
She did say Center City?
Oh, do you have the audio?
Yeah,
that's
her announcement.
Okay.
As your 100th mayor, I come before you from my city hall office with a very important announcement. I am proud to share that I have made my decision and an agreement has been reached that will ensure that our Sixers are staying home. Yes, you heard me correctly. My administration has reached an agreement with the Philadelphia 76ers for an arena in Center City, and I will be transmitting the related legislative package to our City Council of Philadelphia for its consideration, where it must be approved.
So City Council has to approve it. Then the other thing, which will be interesting, and so Josh Shapiro is the governor. Mm-hmm. Josh Shapiro, he said very confidently a week ago,
he's
Sixers were going to stay.
Yeah.
He's a big Sixers, I assume. But if the Sixers have repeatedly said they are not going to take city tax money, I don't know that they've said anything about state.
Okay.
So if there is some sort of tax agreement or loan agreement or state money, that would involve beyond Philadelphia. So that would involve state, state stuff. So I think they probably have some other dominoes that have to fall before we get
But the Sixers are staying here.
Yes, staying
there
here
you go.
In Philadelphia, even though parking would have been way easier in Camden. it's what it is. If you've ever driven to 10th and Market, but...
So are we all good with that?
Yeah, it's fine.
Good, Center City, Jack?
I would have preferred they say Wells Fargo Center, but...
That wasn't going to happen.
That wasn't going to happen.
If they went to Camden, I probably would never have talked about him again. So I'm glad that... I'm glad
you don't even live in Philadelphia.
I wouldn't have talked about him again.
Honestly, Camden's closer to Philadelphia than where you live.
There's a river between them.
There's a creek somewhere between Westchester and
awesome.
Philly.
So you're okay with him being
here? Of course. Anything to keep him out of Jersey. Would be disowned.
All right.
And honestly, it would have cost us more.
And as a residential Jerseyan,
as
a Jersey man, whatever it is.
Jerseyman.
I'm happy the Sixers are staying.
Yeah.
Well, that's because you didn't want that affecting your tax money.
Damn right.
Well, you already pay enough.
I've already paid enough
and
taxes
thank
over there
God, as it is. Thank God that Josh Harris, David Blitzer, David Adelman, all of the Sixers owners will get to profit from their new arena.
Most importantly, I want to thank our fans.
It's only worth, the franchise is only worth $2 billion now.
They can put their cup up. They don't have to hold the cups out for money anymore.
We need to get it to $4
billion. Yeah.
And then maybe if the franchise is worth $4 billion, we could beat one good team in the playoffs.
This is going to be awesome.
Dude.
Congratulations.
I like the model of seeing it. I understand the residents in the area. I empathize with all of that.
Can you imagine? We've seen Ike driving when there's traffic. Can you imagine him driving to the Market East location?
You're never going to go.
No. No. I already got a plan. I stay parked here. Uber over to the arena.
Well, you could just take the
Subway.
Take Subway.
I stay parked here, and I Uber over to the arena.
Why don't you walk?
There's no way I'm walking all the way over there. For by the way, I'd be 60 by the end.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, I keep forgetting that.
Well, it's probably 6 years, 7 years.
I guess 2030. Isn't it 2031?
No. It was before that, I think.
It will be open before the end?
Well, who knows? But I thought it was 2029.
I'll be coming to you for all of this, man.
Mr. Sixer.
2029.
Will Joel Embiid still be on the court?
Well, honestly, truthfully, we've mostly ignored the topic on the podcast because I'm so irritated by all of it anyway. And truthfully, most people. The concern I had about South Philly, because I, you know, whatever, as long as it's in Philly, I don't care, is the people who are coming from outside of the city, from the Plymouth meeting or Glenside or Delaware County or whatever, and you're bringing in two kids and say it's four people, and they're like, yeah, just take the regional rail. It's like, okay. You just take the regional rail. You take the regional rail to the subway with two kids and your wife.
Right, not
some people are used to it, and it's fine. But the people who are there,
you know,
it's
us
just
suburbans
much
are not used to that.
No,
we're not doing that.
No, of course not. So, but
will Maxie still be here
in Philly?
Maxie may still be here.
Yeah, Maxie will be here. I think Maxie will be. Well, I mean, he's under contract until 2028. Yeah. So I assume.
Oh, yeah, he's due for an extension.
He's ushering in the new arena.
Yes. Yeah. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's is designing the ultimate championship ring for our listeners. Vote on the design and find out how to win at 94WIP.com/Mark's. Has the criticism of Nick Sirianni this week been more fair or unfair? What do you think the vote is, Ike? Sirianni criticism, fair or unfair?
This was a tricky one because I don't. Not many people actually have empathy for Coach Sirianni.
No.
This might be closer to 50-50. So let's go 53% think it's fair.
65% think it's fair.
Wow, 65. Damn.
Now,
I think people are
mad.
I didn't think it'd be that much. Yeah.
I think they're just mad.
Yeah.
I think that's probably it.
Wow.
Dennis in Springfield, you're on WIP. What's up, Dennis?
Yeah, if the Sixers really wanted to do the city a favor and make the city better, they would have put it down at Penn's Landing, covered 95.
They got told no for Penn's Landing. Dennis, they proposed Penn's Landing in 2020, and they got told no.
Because they could have covered 95.
You don't want to hear what I just said. They proposed an arena at Penn's Landing, and they got told no.
And if you threaten to go to Camden or put us in Penn's Landing.
All right. Dennis, they proposed an arena in Penn's Landing, and the city of Philadelphia did not choose them for the development of that area. So I would have rather. And by the way, there's no development around Penn's Landing either, and there's water all around it. So if you're...
Really?
Yes. Well, I'm just saying. Well, I don't know that Penn's Landing is any better than Market East. Where, you know what I mean? Like, what's better about? I don't even want to argue about it.
It affects a lot less people. But anyway,
all right.
I don't know if the criticism of Nick Sirianni in this town and somewhat locally, I mean nationally, does the coach of Buffalo and the coach of Cincinnati catch as much grief as Sirianni does? And as far as I'm concerned, they each have supposedly way better quarterbacks, yet they're less accomplished.
Well, I mean, so I would say that the Cincinnati was in the Super Bowl 3 years ago. So if you want to talk about that's equally as accomplished, I would say. And I don't know because I'm not in that city. I think the difference, I understand what you're saying, Dennis, but the difference is we're in Philadelphia and we are listening to local media. So that is concentrated on what's happening with the Eagles. Of course, we're not going to talk about Sean McDermott and... And what's the name of the guy from...
Zach Taylor.
Of course, we're not talking about those guys here. But I think those guys get plenty of criticism locally. You know, Sean McDermott had a pretty rough year last year.
I thought he was going to get fired.
Yeah. You know, had, and the national media, thank you for the call, Dennis. National media was on him pretty good. You remember the whole weird 9/11 thing with Sean McDermott?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, what the hell?
And all the coaches didn't respect him and blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. So, coming up next... Larry Anderson joins us. The Phillies are, depending on which magic number you look at, the magic number to make the playoffs is either 1 or 2. And the Phillies are, what's the magic number to clinch the top 2 seed?
That's still like 9, 8? I believe.
Okay. Mm. So we will talk to Larry about Zach Wheeler. I want to ask LA where Zach Wheeler ranks as far as all of the Phillies pitchers he's ever seen.
Because,
ever?
Wow.
Because he was really good last night again and dependable and good. For a guy who only pitched half good seasons before he got here, has been excellent every time. And maybe if there's anything wrong with Nola or Ranger, we will talk to LA about that next. Today's show sponsored by Guided Door and Window. Buy a window or door, get the second and a half off with 18 months interest-free financing. Call Guided Door and Window today at 877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.